Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. Forgiveness. We talk a lot about it in the church. It's a word we use a lot. And today's lessons all focus on this concept, this word, this great gift of forgiveness. Letting go. Being free. Living in freedom. So I did some studies and I kind of put together a definition based on the Hebrew and Greek use of these words. And this is what forgiveness really means. Pardon, absolution, exoneration, remission, dispensation, clemency, mercy. Those are good words, right? If you're in legal trouble and you're standing before a judge, those words are really good words, aren't they? Because it means you're off the hook. It means that you're not guilty. It means that your record is expunged, it's gone, it's clear, it's free, and you are free to live as a citizen again, right? That's a good thing. Well, the same thing happens for you and me as we stand before God. He declares us not guilty. He sets us free. He expunges our record. He remembers it no more. Our sins are exist as if they're gone. They don't exist. And that's a great thing, because I don't know about you, but I'm a really big sinner, and I'm really good at sinning. If anybody needs to learn how to sin, come to me. I'll show you. It's really fun. It is. But anyways, the reality is we stand before God in our sinfulness, and we know that even still yet we are sinners, because in Lutheranism we know about this whole concept of being a sinner and a saint at the same time. We know that God pronounces that forgiveness upon us, and we stand free and clear. The reality is, in our lives, it can be a different story. We, people, sinful, fallen human beings, are not quickly to forgive. And I'm a prime example of that. Growing up throughout my life, from the time I was point one, I don't know, the day, whatever, to the time I was 18, I suffered a lot of abuse in my life at the hands of several different people. And you carry that with you for a long time, you know? It's not something you forget ever, really. It's not. It changes your life. And sometimes it changes your life for the bad, because in my way, for a long time, I held grudges, and I didn't forgive these people. And it was bad. I had dreams where I would hurt them or shoot them. Now, that's bad, isn't it? And I had fantasies sometimes about them getting hurt. Or somebody would mention their name. Have you ever had this happen? Somebody had mentioned their name, and the next thing I knew, I was mad, and I could feel it in the pit of my stomach. I wanted nothing but bad things to happen to them. And that's the reality of what happens when we fail to forgive people. And so one day, as I began healing through my processes, through the great use of counseling and psychiatrists and all of those gifts that God gives us to help us through these events in life, and pastors and friends, I started realizing that God had forgiven me of a lot of things. I stand before you as a pastor friend of mine says to his congregation, if you knew the things I'd done in my life, you would say, and you're a pastor? Yeah. God has forgiven me of a lot of things. And as I began to heal and I began to grow, I realized, wait a minute, if God can forgive me for these things I've done, I need to start being able to forgive these people in my life. And we're going to talk about how to do that in a little bit. But I'll tell you this. When I finally came to the place in my life where I could release them and forgive them and really mean it, I was no longer held captive to them. The dreams went away. The hard feelings went away. The anger went away. And I was free. Free to love them. Free to care for them. And free not to be in a relationship with them. It was a beautiful thing. And that's how God's forgiveness works. It's a very powerful thing in our lives. You see, I came to the conclusion that if God forgave me, I have to be able to forgive those who hurt me. In fact, Peter, in our lesson for today, says to Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother if he hurts me? Right? And whatever that hurt is, sometimes they're big hurts or small hurts, and God, it doesn't matter. Jesus replies, or Peter says, seven times, Jesus? You know, Peter, you got to love Peter, right? Seven times? Seven times, that's it. That's got to be the limit. And Jesus says, no, 70 times seven, which is a Hebrew idiom that means forever. forever. It basically carries the connotation, you keep on forgiving them. And that's how Jesus wants us to live in our lives, because that's how God lives in our lives. That's how he interacts with us. And he knows that we're sinners, and he knows it's hard for us to do. He knows it's hard for us to forgive. He knows that. I'm sure it wasn't easy for him to forgive. He knows the hardness of that. He knows the hardship. But he wants us to live in the life of forgiveness. You see, failing to forgive people makes us a slave to the person who wronged us and to Satan himself. The reality is, when we fail to forgive people, when we fail to release them in our lives, what happens is we allow them to rent space in our head. We allow them to take residence in our head and in our soul. And so what happens is what I said a little bit ago. When you hear their name, when you think about them, when things remind you of them, you can't help but to hold a grudge and get angry and have bad feelings for them. And then, my friends, what happens is you're dealing deeper into sin, because all that is sinful behavior. And that's why failing to forgive people not only makes you a slave to that person, but makes you a slave to Satan, because that's where Satan wants you. When he can keep you from forgiving others, when he can keep you from proclaiming the gospel and his love to others, when he can keep you in the grasp of his hand, he knows he's pulling you away from God, deeper and deeper into his grasp. And he begins to take root in our soul. And what happens is then we become angrier. We become people who are mean. We become people who are ill-spirited. We become people that people don't want to be around. We become people that are just grumpy and not nice. Do you know people like that? We all do. You see, Jesus says, forgive as I have forgiven you. And we pray that in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses, our sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, contrary to popular belief, a lot of people want to say that what that means is, if we don't forgive others, if we fail to forgive somebody, then we're not going to be forgiven. That's not how it works. Because I can guarantee you, we will all die with somebody we haven't forgiven in our lives. And if our salvation is dependent upon that, we're in big trouble. But it's not, because that would be a good work. What God is talking about is this. Listen, grow in your faith. Grow in your faith and keep living in me and forgive others as I have forgiven you. We've talked about the theology of the cross before, right? Let's review this for a second. When we talk about the theology of the cross, there's that vertical part of the cross, the vertical realm, right? Which represents God's relationship to us. And in that relationship through Jesus, he pours out his grace and his love and his mercy in our lives. And we're that vessel at the bottom, remember? We're like a bucket. And as he pours in that grace and love and mercy in our lives at the bottom of the cross, what happens? Well, if you take a cup and keep pouring water in it, what happens to the cup? It overflows and goes out. And so his love fills us up and overflows and goes out and forms that horizontal realm of the cross, which is our relationship to each other. And in that relationship to each other, we share his love and his grace and his mercy with others around us so that they may know the love of God and experience his power in their lives. But what happens is, when we fail to forgive, a blockage is formed. You know what a blockage is. Let's use the heart for an example. If you go to your cardiologist, and some of you know this very well, they will do a test on you, and they may say, oh, you have a blockage in your heart. Now, your heart's still pumping, right? And your heart's still beating, right? But your heart is unhealthy, and you run a dangerous risk of having a heart attack and dying. The more blockages we form, and these blockages don't form in they form all over the cross, but the blockage that is dangerous is the blockage that forms in that vertical relationship. We don't put the blockage there. God doesn't put the blockage there. We put the blockage there. By failing to love others, by failing to forgive others, by failing to serve others, we put a blockage in place. And God is still pouring out his love and his grace and his mercy because it doesn't stop. But what happens when that blockage forms is we're getting less of it because it's our fault. Because we pulled away from God. And what happens as the blockage continues to grow? We become unhealthy. We become sick. And therefore, we fail to love others. This is the importance of forgiveness in our lives. It's not to earn our salvation. The salvation is there. The importance of forgiveness in our life is to help our relationship with God to continue to grow so that he may grow in us, and therefore we may grow with others and those who don't know Jesus. And Satan will do whatever he can to put those blockages in place, and we must do whatever we can to assure those blockages are removed. God does not want us to be enslaved any longer. For this is why he sent his son Jesus, so that we might be free to be free indeed. You see, God doesn't want us to be slaves. He doesn't want us to be slaves to our brother. He doesn't want us to be slaves to Satan. This is why he sent us Jesus, because we were slaves to Satan. We were slaves to sin, death, and the devil. We were gone for. We were done. We were on the path to destruction and hell for all eternity. That's what we deserve, and that's where we were heading. But God, at just the right time, sent his son Jesus into this world to die for us and to rise for us, to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us with his blood, to open up his tomb, to come forth to life so that we might have eternal life in him. He removed every blockage. He removed our slavery. He removed all of that so we could live in the freedom of the gospel, the freedom to love him every day, the freedom to lie down and surrender to Jesus and to be loved by him as his gifts are lavished upon us. Grace and mercy, forgiveness and eternal life. The freedom to be able to serve those around us, especially those who don't know Jesus. And of course, our brothers and sisters, and that means with forgiveness too. God doesn't want us to be slaves. He set us free so that we will no longer be enslaved to sin, death, and the devil. So that we no longer be enslaved to the lack of forgiveness. So that we no longer be enslaved to the lack of pouring out love, to holding grudges. God has set us free, to be free indeed, and this is his gift to you and me. This is the gift we celebrate when we hear his word and we receive his sacrament. You see, forgiveness is not easy. I know that. It is not easy, and it takes work. The other night at my Chaplaincy Police Academy class, oh, I'm just so excited. This is so much fun, this class. Let me tell you what I've learned. I won't tell you everything I've learned because some of you don't want to know. But anyways, we had an officer come and talk to us who was shot in the line of duty in 2011. The bullet entered right under his bulletproof vest and his back, and it went through and tore his sciatic nerve and did damage to his intestines. 2 feet of intestines had to be removed and then did some damage to bone, and he was in bad shape. He was in really bad shape, but he survived. And he went back a year later to work for the police force, and now he's in crime scene investigation. And boy, the pictures, never mind. But anyways, he's in crime scene investigation. And he came to talk to us about that and about being shot. And he talked about this idea of what God did in that shooting. He said two things happened in that shooting. It was a blessing from God. Number one, my estranged daughters returned to me and we're closer now than we ever have been. And number two, God brought me to salvation. And he went on telling his story. And we as pastors are there. And one of the pastors said, how do you deal with a man who shot you? And this is what he said. I never held a grudge. I had forgiven him even before his trial started. The man has been sentenced because in Texas, if you shoot a police officer, whether they die or live, it's a life sentence. He's now serving a life sentence in prison. And this police officer still writes letters to him and tries to share the gospel with him. How profound is that? A true example of living forgiveness right before our eyes. Forgiveness is not easy. Forgiveness sometimes has to be done daily. That's how I came to a place of forgiving those who hurt me. It had to be done daily. You know, I would say, okay, I forgive them, and the next day I'm like, well, I hate them. And then I have to say, well, I got to start again. So you got to start again. And sometimes that included saying a prayer like this, Lord God, Heavenly Father, forgive them because I don't know how to. Lord God, Heavenly Father, forgive them because I can't. And over time, as I prayed that prayer, guess what happened in my heart? My heart began to melt, and the Holy Spirit worked on my heart and led me to the place that I needed to be in to forgive them. And the other thing let's clear up is while God does forgive and forget, that sure is hard for us humans to do. I've tried forgetting my past, but guess what? It doesn't work because I'm human. So the reality is, I tell Christians all the time, you must forgive, but for us, we learn from our past. We learn from the things that have happened to us. We learn from our own mistakes, and we use those things to grow in our faith and look at those things to see how God may use them in our lives to serve and love others. You see, forgiveness is a way of life. It grows from sanctification. For all of you out there who are in my advanced class, that's my women's Bible study, what is sanctification? The process of what? Becoming holy. When does it begin? See my advanced class? It begins in baptism, the day we're baptized. Jesus sends his Spirit into our lives to cause us to grow in him as he grows in us, to be formed more into the likeness of himself. And being formed into the likeness of himself, he grows that forgiveness within us. And it depends on where we are in the maturity in our faith, and it's okay. All of us are at different places, and there's nothing wrong with that. But as we grow, and as Jesus grows in us, and as we grow in him, forgiveness will become an easier aspect in our Christian journey. It is the way of life for us as we live in repentance and God forgives us. It is the way of life in living and dealing with others, but it requires great practice. It requires great practice. When we teach our kids to drive, we let them practice, don't we? When we play sports, we practice. Ainsley had to practice her flute for this morning. It requires great practice. So go out and start practicing forgiveness. You won't get it right, and it won't be perfect. But I promise you, your life will change. I promise you that. And as your life changes, the world around you will change, because people will see Jesus in you. In his name, amen.